देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयत् नष्ट प्रायेष्व बाजेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवाय भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा जय। सो गुड मॉर्निंग टू एवरीवन ऑन द ज़ूम कॉल। दिस मॉर्निंग्स क्लास इज फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 कॉल्ड सुमन बुनम Chapter 10 in text 9, the previous one. This is for tomorrow, so I'm at 10:10:9. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Yeah. So Srimad Bhagavatam came to 10, chapter 10, text 9. Hanyante Pashabu Yatra Nidarye ajitatmavi manyamaner inam diham ajaramrityunashvaram hanyate pashavo yatra nidarye ajitatmavi manyamana imam diham ajaramrityunashvaram hanyate pashavo yatra nidaye ajitatmabhi manyamana imam diham ajaramityunashvaram. Okay, so you can try if somebody wants to
Anyone else?
Okay. Back on here. All right. So, word for word, Hanyate are killed in many ways, especially by slaughterhouses. Pashavaha, four-legged animals, horses, sheep, cows, hogs, etc. Yatra, wherein. Nidaye, by those merciless persons who are conducted by the mode of passion. Ajita Atmabhi, rascals who are unable to control the senses. Manyamane are thinking. Imam, this. Deham, body. Ajara, will never become old or diseased. Amritu, death will never come. Nashvaram, although the body is destined to be annihilated. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Unable to control the senses, rascals who are falsely proud of their riches or their birth in aristocratic families are so cruel that to maintain their perishable bodies, which they think will never grow old or die, they kill poor animals without mercy. Sometimes they kill animals merely to enjoy an excursion. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When the modes of passion and ignorance increase in human society, giving rise to unnecessary economic development, the result is that people become involved with wine, women, and gambling. Then, being mad, they maintain big slaughterhouses or occasionally go on pleasure excursions to kill animals, forgetting that however one may try to maintain the body is subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. Such foolish rascals engage in simple activities one after another. Being discreetish, they completely forget the existence of the Supreme Controller, who is sitting within the core of everyone's heart. Ishvara-sarva-bhutanam hridesya-junitishtati. That supreme controller is observing every bit of one's activity, and he rewards or punishes everyone by giving one a suitable body made by material nature. Brahmayan sarva-bhutani yantra-yudani mayaya. In this way, sinful persons automatically receive punishment in different types of bodies. The root cause of this punishment is that when one unnecessarily accumulates wealth, one becomes more and more degraded, not knowing that his wealth will be finished with his next birth. Na sadhu manye yata atmano yam asan api kleshada asa deha. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4. Animal killing is prohibited. Every living being, of course, has to eat something. Jeva jivasya jivanam. But one should be taught what kind of food one should take. Therefore, the Isopanishad instructs, tena tyaktena bhunjita. One should eat whatever is allotted for human beings. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 26, patram puspam phalam toyam yo me bhakta prayaschati. Tam aham bhaktupahritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. The translation is, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. A devotee, therefore, does not eat anything that would require slaughterhouses for poor animals. Rather, devotees take prasad of Krishna, tena tyaktena bhunjitaha. Krishna recommends that one give him patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. Animal food is never recommended for human beings. Instead, a human being is recommended to take prasad, remnants of food left by Krishna. Yagya shistashina shanto muchati sarva kilbise. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 13. If one practices eating prasad, even if there's some little sinful activity involved, one becomes free from the results of sinful acts. Oma gena timirandasya gyana gena shalakaya chakshum umilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tadanti swa padantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri guru vaishnavam cha shri rupa sagajatam sahagana raghunatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam sabadutam parijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vineshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sunibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gorabani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshacharini Namo Mahapadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Chishe Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Vimabhya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. So here's the text again. Hanyate Pashavu Yatra Nedaya Ajitatma Vihi Manyamana imam diham ajaramityunashvaram. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Unable to control their senses, rascals who are falsely proud of their riches or their birth in aristocratic families are so cruel that to maintain their perishable bodies, which they think will never grow old or die, they kill poor animals without mercy. Sometimes they kill animals merely to enjoy an excursion. Mm-hmm. So, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, which is the canto where the pastimes of Krishna, most of it is there. But of course, the pastime of Krishna is in other books, especially the Garga Samhita, pastimes of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. This is wonderful pastime involving the sons of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. So they were wealthy. Their father is the Kuvera, the treasurer for the demigods. But you know, if he keeps money, he's got to be paid very well, without doubt. Much of the wealth, material wealth, is in the heavenly planets. And so he's the keeper, the treasurer. They are loaded materially with so much. And so his two sons obviously have been made. The father is that wealthy. So what do? Well, sense gratification, plenty sense gratification. And the top most sense gratification here is involvement with the opposite gender, especially when it comes to matters that of passion, illicit sexual activity. So that's what they were doing, the two of them, with very, very gorgeous, by heavenly standards, way higher than our standards, gorgeous women. And so this was going on. They were in a river enjoying water pastimes with the women, and they weren't wearing any clothes. Now, the Muni happened to pass by. The women saw him and covered themselves. The men were so drunk, those two young men didn't cover themselves, and therefore Narada Muni decided to teach them a lesson. Punish them, but at the same time, give them some sense, something involved with transcendence, involved with Krishna. So he begins to talk about their situation, how people get taken so much by material wealth that they lose their sense of equilibrium. In other words, they lose their mental, equilibrium. And they just do things sometimes like drunk people do. And they were drunk, by the way, the two sons of Kuvera. Now, so Narada Muni is expounding on this situation that people who are not able to control their senses, who are falsely proud of their riches because they've taken birth in aristocratic families, sometimes they don't realize that everything is to be used to serve Krishna. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you eat, whatever you offer, all of that, do that for me. But the rascals want to do that for themselves because they're lusty. In lust, people take for themselves. But in love, people give, and they give out of their hearts. That's the difference, basic difference between lust and love. And we should obviously stay away from lust and move towards love. And a devotee's aim is Krishna Prema, how to love God. But it starts with loving devotees first. And then from learning to love devotees, that is by relating to them and related to them in the mode of path, in the mode of goodness, not passion, the mode of goodness. And at least if you did have some passionate tendencies, from relating with devotees who are fixed up, you gradually get out of the bad habits, the anathas, and as it says, replacing the lower with the higher, like that. The material and the things that are contaminating to Krishna consciousness or to the soul, getting away from that, param desvanubhatate, and taking to the higher and staying with the higher, which is Krishna consciousness. To improve like that, so we can move from the modes up to the mode of goodness, and then purified goodness is that which does not have any passion in it or any ignorance in it. It's 100% pure goodness. But this, as Nanumuni is saying, rascals who have, you know, let their riches get into their heads, in the manner of speaking, they're behaving in a very, very crude way, in a mode of passion and a mode of ignorance. And now the Muni says they are out of control of their senses. A devotee is supposed to control the senses. How does a devotee control the senses? By engaging them in the Supreme Personality of Godhead's service. So the Prabhupada gave a lecture about it. He was actually talking about the prayers of Queen Kunti in that lecture in Srimad Bhagavatam. But he brought it up that it's not difficult to control the senses. All you have to do is engage the senses. Suppose one, you know, decorates the deity, he cleanses the room, make foodstuff for deity and offers the deity, everything done nicely, and the senses are automatically controlled. Then Srila Prabhupada says, what is the chance of a senses being diverted? The senses are under control. So, Hishikena, Tevanam Bhakti Uchete. The senses are controlled. If we do that, then we come under the guidance and control of the master of the senses, Hishikesh. Krishna is Hishikesh. So, Hishik is the senses and Hishikesh, master of the senses. So, he explains like that. Krishna is equal to everyone. It's like the sunshine. Again, explaining in his lectures. He says that the sun is equal. Krishna is equal to everyone. It's not like he's partial to people that are called devotees and then non-devotees. He doesn't care about them. No. He says sun is equal. We have to take advantage of it. Because when the sun shines, it shines equally. If you get in your room and you close your door, in a manner of speaking, just turn your heart away from Krishna, and you don't get the effect of the sunshine, well, that's your business then. That's how he put it. So, Samam Charantan, we should really, really turn our attention or turn our face towards the sun. In a manner of speaking, that is. We should turn towards Krishna consciousness. So, the sun's rays are like Krishna consciousness, and everyone has a chance to connect with it by turning to face it. Non-devotees face away from the sunshine, and devotees face the sunshine. That is the difference. It's not like Krishna is being partial to devotees. No. Or favorable to devotees. No. It's not like that. So, people who don't connect with Krishna consciousness are who Nadamuni is talking about. Rascals. They are falsely plodding in riches. They take birth in aristocratic families, maybe because of good karma. But they are so cruel that to maintain these bodies that are going to perish anyway, but they don't think they will even grow old or die, they kill poor animals without mercy. Animals are defenseless. They don't have much intelligence. Therefore, they can be tricked easily, just like cows are taken to the slaughterhouse and they're lined up and they are being killed. But the cows are not aware that they are going to be killed, one in front of them, two cows in front. They're going to get killed. And so when it gets to their turn, they're also going to get killed. If they knew about that, they would easily revolt. And cows are much stronger than people. I mean, they could easily just move people with their horns out of the way and get out. But they don't have that kind of intelligence. They're being in the animal body. And these fools and rascals take advantage of them. And so there are slaughterhouses all over the country and in many, many, many places in the world. And Srila Prabhupada has said, because human beings are killing the poor animals, especially the sheep. Sheep too, but cows especially. Cows especially. He's actually against killing all animals. So even the sheep, but the cows is a mother, one of the seven mothers. So the cow is very, very, very precious to human society. And in the book, The Higher Taste, the first half of the book, a case is made for the cow, economically, a cow being alive than dead means the cow or the bull is economically good for human beings when the cow is alive rather than get killed and its flesh used for food. Economically, it's proven. So much is given by the cow, the body, milk, The body itself later on can even be used. Even the excrement, you know, the cow dung is used for fuel. Mm? The cow dies, that's it. You can't get any more cow dung from it. Mm? The urine is used as medicine. The cow dies, that's the end of that. You can't get that kind of medicine. When the cow is alive and the cow is giving birth, so much milk is there. Mm? That people take advantage of. If the cow is giving milk, then they leave the cow to be alive. And when the cow, the udders dry, then they want to kill the cow. But the cow has a right to a full life. Mm? That's why His Holiness Bhakti Thiru Swami, before he left the body, began to establish a place. In fact, he did in fact establish it in Florida, where cows that are dry and not giving milk anymore will be taken to that area so that they can live the natural life the rest of what is allotted for them in this life. And my understanding is that it was set up and it was pretty much functioning before he left the body. So he's been so helpful to us in so many ways. Hare Krishna. So anyway, Narada Muni is saying, they kill poor animals without mercy. Sometimes they kill animals merely to enjoy an excursion. Kill just for the sake of killing. Narada Muni should know, he was the one that met Mugari the hunter and pumped sense into his head because he was trying to kill and even kill very cruelly in the way that he wouldn't even kill the animals outright. He would just kill them, half kill them, so they are severely injured but not dead, and then they will be struggling, you know, moving, they're down and in so much pain before they die. And he was just enjoying that. More the ignorance type behavior. Anyway, Narada Muni showed him, by his potency, Narada Muni's own potency, showed him those, the animals who had died, and on the other side, waiting for him, the Mugari, the hunter, to die, so that they will get him back for what he had done to them. And so, the hunter got very scared and asked, when he saw it, Narada Muni gave him the means to see that. And so Mugari the hunter asked what he should do. And first, Narada Muni said, well, the first thing you do is give up your bow, because the bow is the one that we use the arrows to kill. And he said, well, if I do that, then how am I going to live? And Narada Muni said, don't worry about that part, I'll take care of it. So with his faith increased and definitely being helped by being told of a situation that was going to happen to him after he died, going to be torn badly by the animals that he had killed. So he being scared of that, did not help him to give up hunting like that. And true enough, when the word got into the village that Gary the hunter had stopped killing animals, I guess the villagers knew that he was killing the animals in a very cruel way. Then they gave him all kinds of foodstuffs, and prasadam and bhogan, all of that. So much stuff they gave him. So he never got short of food. Never got short of prasadam. Krishna would take care. If we do the right thing, he will also help us. He says, ye yatama papadante tam sateva bhajami aham. The extent to which we surrender to this process of bhakti, then he rewards accordingly. So, now, in this case, Manigriva and Nalakuvera are going to be helped by Narada Muni. So, later on, this will be shown, in the next text, it will be described more. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, when the modes of passion and ignorance increase in human society, giving rise to unnecessary economic development, the result is that people become involved in wine, women, and gambling. Modes of passion and modes of ignorance. We need to stay away from that. We can never go back to Godhead, not even to the higher planets, if we're involved in passion and ignorance. So, it's increasing in human society now, in this Kali Yuga, unfortunately. We can see it, the effects of it in this country. People are being lied to left and right. They don't know in the politics who is a better candidate. Well, what's better, actually? That's even a relative term now. For the longest time, America has been voting based on who is not so bad compared to the other. Not even a good candidate, but not so bad. Less evil, and more evil, you vote for the less evil person. A situation is, I won't get into politics at all. It's not even worth it at this point. So, Srila Prabhupada says, but when the modes of passion and ignorance increase in human society, giving rise to unnecessary economic development, and boy, do we have a lot of that. So many things that we don't need. It's advertised to us to get it. Oh, you want to get this. You will be like this. You will be in this social status if you get this. And so on. So much. Now, interestingly enough, when in March of this year the coronavirus hit and people were now forced to prepare in case we got a lockdown and we were not able to come out, for the first time, people began to think about the essentials. And so in the stores, they bought those things that were needed. That is food, boga, how to store it, just in case you can't come out to survive. And if you look at the electronic section of the stores, there's some stores that have electronics and they also sell boga, vegetables. Nobody was on the side of electronics, so no customers were there. Now they come to their senses, they know what they really need to survive this. We need food, shelter, and clothing, just minimum clothing for us. And many of us that were going, working outside and wearing different clothes, found ourselves our closets full of those clothes that we used to wear outside to go do our work. And now it's not necessary because we're inside doing the work at home. So now those clothes have become redundant. Well, that's the lifestyle that's caused this. So there's so much to learn from this situation, this pandemic. Anyway, this is the life that people lead here. And let's even talk about those who have decent salary, what they call decent salary. You can pay all their bills and have some left over. So they think, people like that, if they're not Krishna conscious, they involve themselves in sense gratification with the extra money that they have. And they think this is the good life. Now, how wrong they are. There cannot be good life in a prison. This is a prison. As my Guru Maharaj, for a while, he would write letters, this is Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, write letters to the devotees in Giranagari when he was DBC and based in Giranagari. A few of the letters he started, and I could never understand. At that time, I wasn't thinking so deeply, or I hadn't gotten the mercy to actually realize why he addressed his letters to devotees that way. But he says, "Dear Giranagari inmates." Now I'm going, but why does he use the word inmates? Aren't we in a temple area? We are serving Krishna, and he calls us inmates. But I never asked him, but he repeatedly used it. A few letters that he wrote to us, he always says, "Dear Giranagari inmates." Then he hit me later on, "Well, listen, this is jail, whether we like it or not. This is jail." So the temples are embassies of the spiritual world, but they are in the jail. Fortunately, the temple's business is 100% Krishna consciousness. Therefore, if you come to the temple, you get to associate with devotees and worship and take darshan of the deities and all those other things and prasadam and so on that will help to further our devotional life and get us more and more and more interested in devotional service, in bhakti yoga. But outside of that, oh boy, so many things happen. I remember the first time I went to 26 Second Avenue in New York. And this is on the east side of New York. I was actually doing some business with the health food stores in New York. And one was close to there. And so when I noticed the address was so close, then I managed to park my car in a place in New York, not the easiest place to find parking, but I did. And then I said, I'm going to stop and walk over to just a few blocks to 26 Second Avenue. Outside were all kinds of mundane things going on. And when I got to the door and opened the door and closed the door, it was like, literally being in a spiritual world. All of this craziness, just the door closes and the noise is gone. And you look up, and the deities are there, and devotees are there. It was just wonderful. And so I got a chance to take darshan of the deities. And then after a short while, I came out. And if you come out, you open the doors, like, not just the atmosphere, but the passion and ignorance just meet you. Just boom, like that. Back to the craziness. But anyway, we just do these things. We have to live life. So We went through what we had to go through in New York City and then got out and came back to Pennsylvania. But the temples, we're making the point that the temples and the centers are places that we should really take advantage of. Not to mention our homes too, as we asked us to have deities there, keep so much around that will remind us of Guru and Krishna. Pictures, murtis, and other paraphernalia, the music, the lectures. And the music should be about Krishna consciousness, music, especially the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Kirtan or in Bhajan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hear over and over and over again. And let the mantra ring in your mind, even when you're doing different types of services or even your own work and employment. Some people are working from a house now because of the coronavirus. Even more reason why you can get in touch with Krishna more. And the workplace is not so easy for those of us that are not working in like the temple or places of worship with Krishna consciousness. Many of us grihasthas have work that are not directly involved in Krishna consciousness. So you don't have any Krishna consciousness, anything there. But your own office, you can change it. Definitely if you're working from home, surround yourself with pictures of Guru, pictures of Krishna, pictures of Krishna's pastimes, going to Thai, so merciful, see the Prabhupada's picture, and so on. So that you can remember Krishna at all times. That's what Rupa Goswami tells us to do. Always remember the Lord, never forget the Lord. Always remember Krishna, don't forget Krishna. And accept all things favorable to devotional service and reject all things unfavorable to devotional service. If we do that, we will be bathing in the ocean of bhakti, which is blissful. Even if you don't understand it in the beginning, it may become maybe a little difficult. That's because we're shedding. We're shedding so much of the dust that covered the mirror of our hearts, our souls, all these years. So that's a process. It takes a while. Sometimes it takes quite a few years. But then, if we stay with the process, it gets better and better and better and better. Good association. Good associates, associate with devotees who are fixed up, and then we'll grow. So Srila Prabhupada continues that these people, being mad, they maintain big slaughterhouses, or occasionally go on a pleasure trip, excursion, just to kill animals. Well, that happens a lot. In the area that we were in Port Royal, which is where Gidanagri is, they literally, in the fall, around this time, the people in town take time off their work to go in the woods to hunt and shoot deer. The poor deer animals are tricked by these people. Sometimes some different sounds that they make, that the deer thinks that maybe another deer is around, and they go near that, they follow the sound, and then when they get in the range of a rifle, they get shot. And it's very, 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 very bad. So in Gidanagri, we had 355 acres. We put signs at the time. I mean, people, before we came, it was there, and we made sure that the signs were maintained. It says, posted, no deer killing or no hunting. No hunting. Somebody did that, I forget the exact words. But it makes the point. And around the border of the dam, the border of the land itself, this was posted. So that if anybody comes to the area, they won't, you know, try to shoot these animals in the Gidanagri land. And the animals also have the Lord in their hearts, Lord Paramatma. Many of them took shelter of the land because they knew. Somehow they knew. The Lord told them, communicated to them, when you come to this land, nobody kills you. So then many of them in the woods, they will be in that area. So we see more of them come across the woody land and so on. And then they will stop there because they don't feel an anxiety like they do in other places because they fear they might get shot. So we saw deer a lot. The poor deer, the animals get killed by people in mode of passion and ignorance. That's what the Prabhupada is saying here. And he says, forgetting that however one may try to maintain the body is subject to old age, disease, and death. Nobody escapes that. But they forget that, deliberately not care about that. So these foolish rascals engage in simple activity one after another. So being discreties, unfortunate people, they completely forget the existence of a supreme controller, Krishna, who is Paramatma, sitting within the core of everyone's heart. Ishwara Sarma Bhutanam. Ishwara Sarma Bhutanam. Hridayase Arjun Tishtati. Bhagavad Gita 1861. Now 1861, the full text, actually Prabhupada quotes the first two lines and then the next two lines later. The whole thing is Ishwara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayase Arjun Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yanta Rudayani Mayaya. And the translation of that is the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, or Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So sometimes we think we have control of our lives, but that's not the case here. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, or Arjuna, and he's the director of the wanderings of living entities. So there are 8,400,000 types of material bodies that one can inhabit one lifetime, the soul and the subtle body, one lifetime to another. But you don't determine the body. The Papa says, based on desire or at the time of death, what you're thinking of, you will be put in another body. Let's just say a person has died, human, and they acted in the mode of ignorance. In the transcendental system, the Lord's agents have determined that they're going to be in the body of a dog. And if he says, no, I don't like the body of a dog. I want the body of a human. No, I don't want a dog. Shri Prabhupada says, you'll be forced to take a dog body. They will take you, the soul, to the womb of the female dog to give birth as a dog. You don't have any say in that. So the Supreme Lord actually and his agents, they direct the wanderings from one living entity type to another living, one body to another body. The living entity gets in there based on their desires or some things that they've done in the past that have the karma, the result of that has not happened yet. And it may happen later. And sometimes, I remember at that time, early 80s, I was in graduate school in Boston, Brandeis University. And I ran into this woman. The school was a Jewish school. Brandeis University is a Jewish school. So a lot of Jews were there. And, you know, their holidays and so on, they were observed and so on. I was not. I was a Christian. But at the time, I had been offered admission to a PhD program there. So that's where I was at. And talking to some of the students, I met this particular woman, white-bodied woman, graduate student also, doing a PhD program. So we got to talking, and I saw that her face was, it seemed like she was concerned about something. And so I kind of led the conversation slowly and gradually to the point where I asked her, you seem to be disturbed about something. Finally, she revealed it. She said, at that time, you know, my legal name is Patrick. So she says, Patrick, I've got cancer. And she didn't have to say much after that. Here's a graduate student hoping to get a PhD, but there's a disease that's threatening her life. And the point she made was, but if God loves me, why would she get that kind of disease? Why would he give her that kind of disease? She says, the Lord has given me this kind of, because he could have prevented me from getting cancer and he didn't. And now I'm going to die. Now here I am. Totally lost in what to tell her because I have no idea of karma. I was not, you know, connected with Krishna consciousness. Christianity doesn't talk about Krishna consciousness. So basically all I did was console her, but I know, you know, nothing to tell her. Except that I said, well, we don't blame God like that, but all you have to say is you don't know why she's come down with that disease. And, you know, this girl, this young woman is intelligent enough. You can't run that by her and say that's an acceptable answer. No. He was saying, but why am I sick? Why am I sick? Why am I sick? Like that. Yeah, in that lifetime, she would not understand why, because she hasn't heard even a fly, and then she's sick. Well, it has to do with the previous lives and some things that happened, on the one hand. And the fact that you are in the material world, disease is rampant. Nothing happens by accident, true enough. But the disease is here. Cancer is here. That's why you catch it in the first place. So that's why I'm thinking in my mind, now that I'm a devotee, and the whole idea of karma, vikarma and akarma, they explained to us. Now we realize, oh, okay. So that's what she was going through. But of course, I left Brandeis a long time ago. And I don't know how consoling that would be to her if you let her know that it had something to do with the previous life. Anyway, I didn't know the answer at that time. But this is what we go through. So why should anybody go through suffering one lifetime after another? When you think about it, it doesn't make any sense. But if we want that, then there are 8,400,000 types of bodies that we can inherit. We can get in. The transcendental system puts us in one of those. In Krishna consciousness, however, we are chanting our way back to the spiritual world and away from all of these material bodies. So, hearing is important so that we can get guided. Srila Prabhupada says that's the first thing to do is to hear. Hear Shastra. Hear Vigyan, practical application explained, so that we can in fact take what we read or what we hear, which are the facts of life, real facts of life, and live according to that. And also be with devotees who are fixed up, who are doing the same, so we can learn from them. And also learn from Guru, and then of course worship the deities. So for us, Guru is our guide. We worship the deities. We don't request anything from the deities, except bhakti, of course, to be able to serve them. That is Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that's, dear divine couple, Radha Krishna, please engage me in devotional service to you. This is our life. This is our life in the spiritual world, and we try to make it here by thinking that we're going to be the controllers here. But the material world just beats you up. Beats you up different types of energies, different types of situations. And so now that we realize, as devotees, that we are in the wrong place, by the mercy of Guru and Guranga, we are trying to get back. Put in the effort, you get the mercy. You put in the effort of service, you get the mercy. So, in our lives, if we try hard to stay away from offending devotees, if we welcome service, if we never get turned off by the challenge that the service poses, but actually do it differently, be excited about the fact that there is challenge and you're going to try to work as hard as you can to serve Guru and to serve Krishna, even as those challenges are there, the challenges associated with the service. The more determined we are, the more pleased Guru is. And Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. And the opposite is also true. Because Guru serves Krishna. Guru is a puppet for Krishna. And also the bona fide representative of Krishna. So in Krishna consciousness, Guru consciousness actually is Krishna consciousness. Since Guru is a representative of Krishna. We take Guru seriously. We worship Guru. The transcendental system, the Lord's agents, take that to mean that the extent to which we worship Guru is the extent we're going to worship Krishna. And the extent we relate to devotees is that extent, or how we relate to devotees is how we're going to relate to those who are in the spiritual world. So this is practice for us. The material world is a horrible place to be, but at least we get to practice how to be natural again. Natural life is the way that's led, that's the life that's led in the spiritual world. We are out of the spiritual world temporarily, even though it seems like it's forever. But we are going to be allowed back to our normal way of life. What we live here is abnormal, but we fortunately have bhakti that is tacked on to our material life so that we can take that as the priority and live according to that. Material life, necessary. We have a body, so we have to take care of the body, so that's necessary. But the real business of the body is bhakti, spiritual life, because that's what is going to count when you leave the body and get us a chance to go back to the spiritual world. So, Srila Prabhupada is explaining Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantarudani Mayaya. We are like sinful persons automatically receive punishment in different types of bodies. Hmm? So, Sri Prabhupada says the root cause of this punishment, when one unnecessarily accumulates wealth, unnecessarily means tries to make money by any means, sometimes negative means, sometimes legitimate means, but the idea is they want to enjoy with the money, with the wealth, rather than use it to serve. A devotee can make money, and Krishna would even allow a lot of money to come to a devotee's hands on only one condition, that devotee wants to use the money to serve Krishna conscious projects and to serve the devotees. When that is the thought process of a devotee, and Krishna knows that when that devotee makes money, they will not fall into Maya and use in the mode of passion, then Krishna will open the door for that to happen. Because there are some services, huge services, that require lots of money. And in that case, money is being used in the proper way. And Krishna would allow that to happen. So devotees, sometimes when you have to struggle to do, say, build a temple or renovate a temple, and it involves quite a bit of money, and the effort is put in, the effort would attract more mercy individually for the devotees. So never get turned off that this is so hard, what am I going to do? There's no what I'm going to do, because that's Janasya Moho Yam Aham Mameti. Janasya Moho Yam Aham Mameti. I going to do I this and we and no. We are puppets. Puppets don't say I anything. We just get used. We should see ourselves as tools for Guru and Krishna to use in performing devotional service, and then we get the credits for doing that. That is the proper mindset. See, the Prabhupada himself says, please use me as a puppet. When he was praying to Krishna, when he first came to America and he saw the huge, huge, huge mountain of sinful activity that had to be overcome for some of them, and hopefully the rest of them later, to learn about Krishna consciousness and turn to Krishna consciousness. He didn't know how that was going to happen. So he says, well, here's so much Maya. He was writing a poem to Krishna. Krishna, dear Krishna, you brought me here. I don't know what I'm doing here. So much Maya here. But if you brought me here, then there must be some purpose. So you know the purpose. All I have is strong faith. And that's a big lesson for us. The faith should be strong. So Sri Prabhupada, that's the only credit he gave himself. He has strong faith. Therefore, please, please, please use me as a puppet and make me dance in devotional service. Make me dance, dear Lord, make me dance. And look how successful he became. So that should be our attitude. We are not the doers. Krishna is going to use us if we make ourselves available. That's called surrender. The extent to which we surrender, then he rewards accordingly. You surrender less, well, you get less of his mercy. You surrender more, you get more of his mercy. And the more of his mercy you get, the happier you're going to be. But that's how it works. You're not going to get real happiness anywhere else. It's from Krishna. And so, we obviously should never support animal killing in any way. So, Srila Prabhupada admits, every living being, of course, has to eat something. But one should be taught what kind of food one should take. And that reminds me of a lecture that I heard from Srila Prabhupada. It was a morning walk. And sometimes he'd give lectures in the classrooms temples, or sometimes different schools. He'd give lectures there too, in the different classrooms, where people would come and then listen. And they, that's formal. When they finish, they ask questions. But other times too, when he was taking his exercise, morning walk, the devotees would be with him. And those recordings, they were recording everything he said, where devotees threw all kinds of questions at him. You get all kinds of stuff. About three devotees got into a debate with about eating of meat and different religions and what they say. And they really tried their very best, but Prabhupada being who he is, He gives the mercy by answering every question, but answering in the way you never thought of. So you cannot try to defeat him in a debate. No, you definitely would lose. So they were talking about meat eating. and he's saying, but Muhammad, peace be unto him, he in the Quran was encouraging the Muslims to eat meat. And you know, they were actually quite convinced. I mean, I don't know that's in the Quran, but they were saying, the devotees were telling Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's own disciples telling him that. So how do we understand that? Then Srila Prabhupada said, Muhammad says that, he said that, they are in the Middle East and they are in the desert. So in the desert, you don't get plants, you don't get that type of food that's not nourishing, that vegetarian type food. So the time, place, and circumstances dictated that some of the Muslims be allowed to take flesh of animals. And that even, you don't touch the cow. So he is saying that, yes, depending on the situation, sometimes if there's no higher quality food, which is vegetarian food, or the ones especially that Krishna dictates that we should give to them, to ourselves and cook and eat, leaf, which is tulsi leaf, flour, fruit, water, and so on, and different types of preparations that are acceptable, acceptable. We have plenty of that now. That's the point Srila Prabhupada was making. We have plenty of those type of foodstuffs, bhoga, that's offerable to Krishna. So why go for meat then? Why go for meat? In times of difficulty, yes, other animals may be killed, but that's not the situation for us. We are in a place where not only is the land such that you can grow vegetables, but the knowledge for growing is also there. And people can produce so much from the land. So there's no excuse. You don't go after animals. So that is our diet. Actually, in the Bible, God also told Adam and Eve that it's in Genesis chapter 1, text or verse 29. He said, all of this, the fruits, the trees that bear fruit, and the vegetables, and some of the fruits, and the other type of plants, the leaves of plants, they shall be your food. This was directing to Adam and Eve when human bodies. So human beings are supposed to be vegetarian. Even the Bible says that. But now, people are saying, oh, but we have to eat meat and so on. Well, that is the situation we described. When there's nothing and you have to eat, that's your papa says here. Jiva jiva se jivanam. One living entity is food for another living entity. Where the plants are, isn't that. They also have souls. But now Krishna approves that we eat plants. And so, when in the process some of them get killed, like in potatoes and so on, you have to uproot the whole thing. Then that's understandable because that it's owned by Krishna and Krishna has permitted us to eat. So that case, it's fine. So the devotee does not eat anything that will require slaughterhouses for poor animals. Rather, the devotee should take prasad of Krishna. Tena chaktena bunjita. Krishna recommends that one give him patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, Srila Prabhupada says, which is vegetables, tulsi leaves, flowers, water, fruit. Animal food is never recommended for human beings. In fact, we don't even have the tooth structure for tearing into food the way that cats and tigers and dogs, they have the canine teeth on either corners, up and down, four of them for tearing. We don't have anything like that. In biology, they're saying this end here as canine tooth. You know, they can just forget that. There's no canine tooth in the human body. No, in the tooth structure. We have teeth like those for horses and for cows and, you know, those kinds of animals. They eat grass. So our tooth structure, even for this human body, physical body, is meant not for eating meat and so on. So Narada Muni is saying that we should control our senses. We should be about bhakti and all the things that we have to do in bhakti. Those who are rascals, they are falsely proud of their riches. They don't use it for Krishna consciousness. They use it for themselves. Like those people were doing, Manigriva and Nalakuvara, who were the sons of the treasure of the heavenly planets. They were wasting it. So our instruction is use wealth profitably. Profitably means use to serve Krishna, Hare Krishna, and Krishna is devotees. So we'll stop here. The text again, translation, unable to control their senses, rascals who are falsely proud of their riches or their birth in aristocratic families are so cruel that to maintain their perishable bodies, which they think will never grow old or die, they kill poor animals without mercy. Sometimes they kill animals merely to enjoy an excursion, if you can believe that. Hare Krishna. So thank you, glorious Srila Prabhupada. And I think the moderator can take over from this point, you know, with the questions and so on. Do you want to charge people? Krishna's mercy, Krishna's mercy. Guru's mercy. Hare Krishna. Jai, Jai. Hare Krishna. Oh, that's wonderful. We'd like to hear that. Yeah. Not to kill animals, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Very, 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 very important point. The guru is the external. Krishna, the external. We can see guru. We can worship guru. We can inquire from guru. He says that. We should approach and inquire submissively. We can learn from Guru. We get guided by Guru. Guru plays a very important role in our Krishna consciousness growth. And of course, there are three types of Guru. The first one, Patma Pradaksha Guru, the one that brings you the Krishna consciousness. And then the one that is forever talking, and that is Shiksha Guru, that gives instruction. And there's a particular one that after, you know, you associate with devotees and strong faith and, you know, Krishna will help to give you the guru that will connect you to the parampara. That is Diksha, initiation. Then you are formally told you are servant. Das, das, and dasi. And happily be the servant because this is life. Servant. And by the way, once a devotee gets initiated, they are automatically servant of a servant of a servant of a servant. See, the Prabhupada tells us we should be servant. We should have the consciousness. Servant of a servant, so we serve the devotees who are serving. That's the way it is in the spiritual world. But also, the system of the parampara is designed that by immediately you become a servant of your guru, you are servant of a servant of a servant. Why? Well, you are a servant of the initiating spiritual master. But the initiating spiritual master is also the disciple of his guru. So if you are a disciple of, say, second generation guru like me, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. So Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, I'm a servant of him, but he's a servant of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is a servant of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And he's a servant of Gokishwara Das Babaji. So it's he, but as soon as you connect with your guru, you're just a servant of all of these servants going up to Lord Chaitanya, who's also in there in the parampara. So it's actually set up that way. It really is set up that way. So you don't have to like try to get, how am I going to be servant of a servant? Servant of a servant, the parampara is already there. Yeah. So you take spiritual life seriously so that Krishna can give you mercy to give you a Diksha Guru. Then you're automatically title servant of a servant, Das, Das, Anudas. You just have to serve. That's it. You serve, you're servant of the servant. So you get the mercy that way. So you don't have to say, oh, maybe I have to serve to qualify, go to spiritual world. No, you're qualified already because the system is already there. You just have to serve devotees and serve Guru and you're fine. Hare Krishna. I just wanted to throw that in. Hare Krishna. Jai. Jai. So any other questions? Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Yes. we'll see. My Guru Maharaj helped me to deal with the burning question, but go ahead. Go ahead, Mataji. Go ahead. Oh, okay. Well, you have an issue with, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes, you have to sort issues out. Yes. That's what classes are for. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. So you understand that you need to. Very good question. So what you're saying, let me see if I understand you correctly. You mentioned the qualities of Krishna and people having two, you mentioned 64. We'll get to the answer to that one. People should try to live by those qualities or aspire to live by those qualities, or sometimes they even get to those qualities, which I kind of debate you on that point, but we'll get to that later. But you say you see some of these qualities in people who are not in this particular Sanatan Dharma, in this eternal religion that we have. Are they also, the question is, well, in a sense, are they not also okay because they have some of those qualities? Am I reading you correctly? Okay, all right. So now, here's how this thing goes. Now, first, the qualities, as you said, 64 qualities of Krishna, they are listed in the Shastra. We don't come up to that level. That's the first point. Okay? Krishna owns all of it. We have a higher percentage than 50, at least. We go up to the 72. The demigods are higher. The Vishnu Tattvas are even higher still, but almost, 60 out of the 64 qualities. So technically, I'm being a little now with the numbers. We will have some of those qualities, but all 64 belong to Krishna. And we don't come up to Krishna's level. Therefore, we cannot really exhibit all the 64 qualities the way Krishna exhibits it. That's the first point. Okay. Now that doesn't mean you are not off by much. I just wanted to make that point. Because I obviously, as a person who is learning devotion, we cannot say anybody is at Krishna's level. Nobody is at Krishna's level. And nobody can be higher than Krishna. So if he has 64, all of these qualities, okay, we'll not stay on it too much, but the point is, you see these qualities in other people. That's what I want to get to. That's where your question is at. Yeah. Okay. Now, we have to distinguish between mode of goodness, material goodness, and transcendence. And that's the point you're making. These qualities bring us to the mode of goodness, meaning that we become good people. There is also the transcendental part. Now, for the transcendental part, which is higher than just regular goodness, that's been given to us by the acharyas. And the main thing for this particular yuga, which is Kali Yuga, is chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore, if you see somebody with some of those qualities, which is commendable and good, but if they are not doing the transcendental aspect of life, then all that's going to happen to them is, if they take these qualities seriously in life, they are going to wind up, when they die, in the heavenly planets. But the heavenly planets are only the less troublesome part of the jail. It's still jail. It's like a minimum security jail. We are in a medium security jail, and then the hellish planets are the maximum security jail. So basically, if you don't have transcendental activity like chanting the holy name and the other things that worshiping the deity based on service, bhakti yoga, if you don't take that, then you're not going to leave this material world. So those may have those qualities, but that's based on basically they're living a life that they are going to be rewarded for the good qualities, good material qualities. In Christianity, they say you reap what you sow. So if you sow good crop, yeah, then of course you're going to get good fruit. But that's here in the material world still. It takes the chanting of the holy name. It takes associating with devotees who are involved in the chanting of the holy name and serving in bhakti yoga to be able to get the mercy of guru. We also have to be guided by guru and initiated by guru, because guru is one taking you to the spiritual world to plead your case for Krishna to allow you to go. Those who are in that situation, they don't have gurus that we have. Like, no, they don't have any of that. But they are good people. They are good people. As a matter of fact, I asked my Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Jaya Maharaj, this kind of question. What about the good Christians? What about the good Muslims and so on? They take their religion very seriously. What happens to them? Now, I already know that they're not going to the spiritual world. So I asked Bhakti Jaya Maharaj, what happened to them? So somebody is a good Christian, everything that Jesus talked about in the Old Testament, New Testament, they're following all of that, but they're not going to go to the spiritual world. Aren't they unfortunate? Well, in one sense, yes, but not quite. So he explained that those people who obey Jesus' rule of law, do's and don'ts, they will be taken to one heavenly planet where Jesus will begin to teach them what we're learning now. Bhakti. Basically, what it is why don't they learn now? Well, they are not renounced. Many of them are meat eaters. Meat, fish, and eggs, they eat it. Some of them gamble. Some of them take intoxication. Some of them are involved in illicit sex. So, well, ours is sex is for the biological reason is the woman gets pregnant. So that's what, you know, you have to be, the woman has to be your wife also. Husband and wife relate. For the purposes of begetting a child. That is Krishna saying sex life according to the regulative principles. But those people don't live like that. So if you don't, and Krishna says the extent to which you surrender are rewarded accordingly, and they're not surrendered to the extent, now why should we expect them to be rewarded with something that's spiritual at that level? It's not going to happen. So we are fortunate. So you have been in, now you're in this process a month or so. Congratulations. Welcome. You're joined to the right place. Now, increase your faith and increase your faith in Guru and Krishna and relate to devotees, learn from the senior devotees, they will guide you. We all make mistakes. We come chock for a whole lot of mistakes and some misconceptions that have to go. So slowly you're going to learn, and the learning is a purification process, and you also, since this is there, start chanting right away. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now, when you are initiated, it is required that you chant a minimum of 16 rounds in the japa beads. When you're not initiated, it is not required yet. You can chant that. You can chant even more than that if you want, or you can chant less than that, but you must chant. When you chant, you're saying, Dear Radha, Dear Krishna, please engage me in devotional service to you. Then it means you're ready to accept the bhakti process. And devotees, you're praying that Krishna and Radha engage you in devotional service. So then they will make devotional service available for you. And that way you will grow. And over time, some of these things, and we all start with misconceptions, a lot of them. I myself started like that. It will shed. After a while, you get more and more realizations as Krishna is pleased and Guru is pleased with you by the service attitude. Not just the service attitude. Your attitude should be a pleasant attitude. And you shouldn't offend devotees. You shouldn't offend anyone, actually. Srimati Radharani, who is the mother of devotion, she doesn't like it when people are offended. We are very, 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 very few. Very few people are taking to Krishna consciousness. So you're very fortunate to be among the blessed few who are now heading towards the spiritual world. So stay with it. Welcome. A month. That's obviously very new. Been in it for about a month. But you are in the right place. And whatever challenges that come, please ask questions about it. You know, ask senior devotees questions and ask guru questions. Be really, you know, every time, just be hungry to get your answers and live by that. And you will see how your heart, over time, it doesn't happen right away. Over time, your heart will be much lighter. You will feel more pleasant, you know, in your own self. Mm-hmm. You will feel the outside influences don't really affect you very much. That internally, you feel good. Because your soul now is beginning to awaken. It's in a dormant stage now. Everybody's in the dormant stage. Krishna consciousness awakens the soul. Because we feed the soul. We feed the soul with transcendental information, especially the chanting of the mantra. Because that's the soul's activity in the spiritual world, is to serve everybody who serves Krishna and Radha. And so we'll start here as practice. So the only way you can do is be around devotees. It's called Sadhu Sangha. Be around devotees. Those who you're comfortable with, well, please take more shelter of them. Senior devotees, they have more experience. They've been through a lot of things. They made mistakes. Some people are pure. We don't even know. But they are among us and they don't advertise themselves. But you can learn from them and Krishna will guide you. Guide you to be among people you can, in fact, take shelter of. Shelter meaning that you ask questions. Just like you asked me, ask them questions also. And then little by little, it's a gradual process. Don't expect this high-tech thing, everything happens overnight. No. Krishna consciousness is a lifetime thing. And you will know after a while that you get more and more and more habituated to the, you do the service, and after a while it becomes a habit. So it's not easy to do. First, you have to kind of push yourself to do. But if you're around the body that's really seasoned, they can make you excited to do the service right away, which is great. But you stay with it. And the temptations that come, please open up to somebody you can confide in. Then let them explain to you like that. So then you go on. This is all from Nectar of Instruction, by the way. This is called the Exchanges of Love. You give gifts to devotees. Now, and we're not pushing you now. We're just, you know, whatever you can give. Krishna notices everything you do. So if you give to the temple, whatever you can afford, do that. That's easy credits, if you spiritual credits, if you do that. Give prasadam or give boga, and then, you know, reveal your mind to the senior devotees, being careful who, Krishna will guide you anyway, it's in the heart. Being careful who you talk to, and then they will get, you expect Krishna consciousness answers from them to improve your life. So you are in the right place. I'm excited to hear. Stay with it. There will be challenges, but don't let the challenges get you down. Ask all questions, as many questions just like you have now. And in the end, you'll be on your way back to Godhead too. Hare Krishna. So Mataji, welcome. Krishna's mercy. Oh. Definitely not. So these things are recorded, I'm sure they're recorded, so you can play, you know, even I record myself, because it's through my guru that I'm speaking, I'm not speaking on my own, so I also want to hear later on, so recording is done, please find out from the temple, or, you know, it's up to you, I do have a recording also, so somehow we'll get it to you, but I'm sure the temple in Philadelphia, they would know, they record these things. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Hare Krishna. I look forward to coming. Yeah. There's one new devotee, that white body devotee, his name is Brett. I might get him to come with me. He hasn't seen temples around so much. He just heard, you know, Krishna consciousness. And hadn't been to any temple. He comes to Harrisburg now, but he hasn't seen the larger temples and so on. So I took him to Baltimore, and I'm going to ask him to come to Philadelphia also. Because he's seen you, in Zoom, when we do, seen you, he's seen Vishnugadapu, he's seen Vinayavarishni Radhika, but hopefully he'll see all of you in person when he comes. So I'll introduce him. Hare Krishna. Jai. Jai. a încercat pătrulubie să te dita anam pavne biu vaște biu jai Hare Krishna, jai, jai, jai.